Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If all we did today was give him thanks, that would be enough. Amen. Amen. You say, well, my life's in ruins. I don't have much to be thankful for, but you have today. You're here. Amen. Can all change in a moment. Amen. Amen. He's given us the opportunity to life. Amen. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning. Thank you, musicians. Amen. We want to remember our pastor in prayer. He's ministering in the Washington, D.C. area there, and it's kind of a quick turnaround trip, so call it a turn and burn, you know. And goes over, I think he went over Saturday, and he'll come back tomorrow. So it's time zones and preaching and travel, and so we just want to remember him that the Lord will give him strength. Amen. Be back here to minister on Wednesday night, Lord willing. Amen. Tonight it's the last weekend of the month, so we will be having a youth-oriented service here tonight for the night service. Amen. So we just ask you to be in prayer for that. Amen. Just looking forward to what the Lord would do for us. Amen. And the young people especially. Amen. How many is glad to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to invite you as you're standing this morning to turn in your Bible if you have one. Or you can just follow along on the screen. Amen. But I've just got three verses here in three different areas of Scripture. Just single verses that we want to look at this morning. And Brother Baker's been preaching about the opening of the book and all the things related to that in the Scripture. And so this morning we maybe just want to kind of jump off of that a little bit, and we want to look at the subject of the people of the book. Amen. So if that's you this morning, your ears should perk up. Amen. The people of the book. And sort of a subtitle this morning, he came looking for me. Amen. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Amen. Adam, where art thou? And Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And then we'll also read in John 6:44. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek. Amen? Amen. To seek first. And then the ones that he sought out to save that which was lost. Amen. In John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. There's no shadow of doubt in that. There's no question. I will raise him up at the last day. The one that the Father draws, he says, that one will come and I will raise him up. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, just an honor and a privilege to be gathered together once again, Lord, with my brothers and sisters this morning. Father, we just once again are thankful for any visitors that we have with us this morning as well, Father, and just pray that you'd bless them. Those that might be listening in on the stream, Father, we pray that you would just bless them as well, Father. May your word just speak to every heart this morning, Lord. We know that you have something for everyone this morning. Lord, no matter where we're at in our walk in life or what we're going through, our particular trials or situations, Lord, we know that you have a word for us right now today, Lord, that you want to speak to us. And Lord, give us ears to hear, I pray, that we would be able to, Lord, disregard the vessel. We wouldn't look at the flesh of man or the failings of man, but Lord, that we would hear your voice through it all, amen. Father, and that you would speak to us. Lord, bless your word, Father, as we partake this morning. And we give you all the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving, Lord, as has been said and prayed and has been sung in the songs of praise, Lord. We're a grateful people this morning, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, and we don't want to be remiss, Lord, to remember, Lord, that we owe everything to you, and we are thankful for it this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And as I said, the subtext here, we want to look at and perhaps, Lord willing, we'll have multiple parts to this, but the subtext this morning is He came looking for me. Amen. Amen. Because I never sought God. Amen. But He sought me. Amen. Man never sought God, but God has sought us. It's been God's plan all along. It's been God executing His idea, His thought, His plan through all time. Amen. Even the creation of man, the creation itself, it's God with a plan in His mind executing it. Amen. Because He had children in His mind. He had children in His thinking. He had people that He wanted to create that were in His image. Amen? And He had these thoughts back in the eternities. And so He created space and time and a setting for all of these thoughts to come forth, to blossom forth and bloom like flowers. Amen? To manifest, to burst forth in beauty and splendor and glory. That was His thinking toward us. Amen? His children. And so the way that the Bible expresses this in some symbolic form is in the form of a book. Amen? What we're talking about. Names that were placed on a book before the foundation of the world. God's thinking, it wasn't, you know, necessarily a literal book where God had everything written down, but it was His thoughts. Amen. Amen. That were in the back of His mind as He was thinking about His expression of His children. Amen. And how they would express His attributes as a loving God. Amen. And as a loving Father, how they would express attributes as a friend, a companion, someone to have compassion on someone else. Amen. All of these attributes that God has as a Father. Amen? Amen. That He would see them expressed in His children. And so He placed those names on a book. Amen? Amen? Again, maybe not a literal book, but it's, in fact, it's deeper than that. Because if we think of a book, right, you just think of ink and paper. But it's actually the image that He has in His mind of you is what is placed there. Amen? What you really are. What He really thinks of you and what you are to be. Amen? That image is your name. That is who you are. Of God's thought towards you. It's like God's family album. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just read you, we're going to read another scripture here, but we also have a statement here from Proving His Word. He says, now, don't you know that the same God that did all those things is right here tonight? To me, I think we should be the most happiest people in all the world just to think of this. I hope that I haven't impressed my audience to believe that it's something that I do myself, you know, better than that. I'm your brother, see, and I'm just your brother, but I do know this, that God is here. And I know that He has given something to us that we cannot explain it. Amen? Only the Word of God claims that it should be here at this time. So it also gives us identification to know that we are living in the last days. It gives us identification to know that this people, chosen, elected, called out, predestinated. He says, now that's a big word, predestinate, but we all know that it's the truth. We absolutely know that the infinite God predestinated all things by foreknowledge before the foundation of the world. Even the Lamb was slain. And every name that would ever be on the book was put on the book before the book was ever written. Now how many knows that's true? Jesus came to redeem those that were in the book. Amen. Amen. In the Bible, the Lamb came from behind the curtain, taking the book, and opened the seals that it was sealed with. For He came to claim all that He had redeemed. He's the intercessor now, an intercessor, making intercessions for those who he had redeemed. All whose name was written on the Lamb's book of life is redeemed. Amen. And then Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's pretty plain, right? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. So God wanted to have a family. Amen. To share his life with, to share his creation with, to fellowship with. Amen. And he would give his children authority over the earth and over this world. Just like he's the God of the universe, they would be the God of this earth. Amen. And they would rule and reign. And so that way they would have a shared experience. Amen? That they would understand, that man could understand God a little bit better, that they would have that sort of camaraderie, if you will. Amen? You know, because we have to have shared experiences to have fellowship. Amen? And the ultimate was God then turned around and became man. Amen? That he could experience what we experience. Amen, that we could have a shared experience around the frailty, amen, of our humanity. So that he knows what it's like when we go through pain. Amen? It was God establishing this. It was God setting it up. It was God's idea. It was his plan. Amen? And it was good until, and he said, it was good and it was good and it was good and it was not good that man should dwell alone. Because he saw man was in the same position he was in. Without a mate. Amen. Without somebody to share his experience with. And so he created that for man, and that was woman, and that fellowship with kindred minds and kindred hearts. Amen. All of this was God initiating. God creating. God manifesting. And when man fell, man sinned, man disobeyed, it was God going after man. It was God seeking after Adam, saying, Adam, where are you? It wasn't Adam running towards God. It wasn't Adam screaming, God, help me. Where are you? Amen? No, he was hiding. And God was the one looking for Adam. Adam, where are you? He was hiding from God when he should have been running to God. Amen? Instead, we find God running through the garden calling, Adam, where are you? And he finds him because he finds what he's looking for. Amen? That's one thing about God. When he sets out to do something, he does it. Amen? He went looking for Adam because he would find Adam. Amen. He doesn't set out to do something and then it gets too hard and say, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. No, that's not our God. When our God sets a course, amen, he completes it. He finds what he's seeking. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Because we can know, if he's looking for something or someone, he's going to find them. Amen. He who began a good work in you will finish it. Amen. He knows the beginning from the ending. And he's already played it out and he already knows what's going to happen in his mind. So God slays the lamb for Adam and Eve. Amen. And he covers them with the bloody skins to cover their shame and their nakedness. Is that right? But in his mind, he had already slain the Lamb of God. He already knew that this would happen. And he, before the foundation of the world, he had slain the Lamb of God in his mind. When he had thoughts of you and me, and he had an image of his children, he also had in his mind of a bloody lamb, of a sacrifice. that man that was taken out of or separated from fellowship with him would be restored back to fellowship again. Amen. And from that time until now, God has been seeking out his children. Hallelujah. Wherever they are. Wherever, whatever time they're born in, whatever place they find themselves ending up. Amen? They're born on the earth in sin. Buried. Amen. A very child of God. One whose name is written in heaven. Who's etched in the very mind of God. And that one is buried in the muck and mire of sin and darkness. And they don't look anything but like a child of hell. Amen? They look like they belong in hell. Amen? They look like they belong in that mud. But he looks at that one and he says, I found a child. Hallelujah. He came looking for me. And he didn't worry about how much mud and muck and mire he had to wade through to find me. No matter how badly buried they are in sin, he finds each and every one. Amen. And he won't lose a single one. And he won't rest until every single one is found. No matter how improbable it looks. We're the ones that look at somebody and go, oh, they make a good Christian. Amen. We look at somebody else and we go, I don't know about them. Right? That might be the one. It's kind of funny, you know, in the Old Testament, that's what they did when they were looking for a king. Right? God calls Samuel, he says, go anoint my king. I'll tell you which one it is. They look at, they go to it's one of the sons of Jesse. They go to, he goes to Jesse, show me your sons, man. Okay, here we go. Start at the oldest. Got big strapping sons, you know, tall, good looking guys. Right? One of these surely is king. They had already chosen Saul, head and shoulders above all the rest. He looked like a king, man. Right? And these boys, some of them, you know, okay, you know, we got something to work with here. They could grow into it a little bit. I can see where God's going with this. Nope, not that one. This one, surely. Nope, not that one. We're getting down further and further and further. Nope, nope, nope. Is this all there is? Well, I got one more, but I mean, if one of these wasn't the king, then surely this little ruddy, scrawny fellow, he's out with the sheep. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The most improbable one. That's him. Hallelujah. That's the one he's looking for. God sent his prophet looking for a king. Amen? He was seeking him out. David wasn't looking to be king. David was out there serving. He was serving his father. He was serving God. Humble. Amen? Just minding his own business. Suddenly God, through a prophet, came his way. Oh, David, you're king. Who? Me? What? Amen? How improbable it was. But that's not what God's looking at. He's looking at that little seed gene that he's placed down in there. Amen. He's looking for that image that he saw before the foundation of the world. And he's seeking those out. He's looking for them. No matter what package they're wrapped in. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is from A Hidden Life in Christ. He says, the reason we're not getting anywhere today is because we got too many dry-eyed professions and church-joining lukewarm backslidden church members. That's a mouthful right there. that would stand quoting. He says that's the truth. We need more of the old-fashioned. The God-sent. Amen. Why? Because we get hung up looking at the outward. Amen. Dry-eyed professions and church joining, there's a reason why that is the case. Because it looks good. It looks proper. Amen? But he says we got too many of that. Dry-eyed professions and church joining and lukewarm backslidden church members. You know what lukewarm backslidden church members are? They're reasonable. Amen? They deal in reason. Doesn't it make sense? And I understand this, and right? They're dealing in carnality, human reasoning. But they're lukewarm and backslidden. He says, that's the truth. That's why we need more of the old-fashioned. Amen. What's the old-fashioned? I don't care how it looks. Amen. It's God-sent. St. Paul's revival, he says. In the Bible, the Holy Ghost, the power in breaking up. The power in breaking up. Somebody who's broken up doesn't look like much. They don't look like they have potential. But the Holy Spirit comes and breaks up their life. So that He can give them power to overcome. Amen. The power, he says, in breaking up. To make people act different. And look different. And walk different. And talk different, and be different, and live different in their everyday life. Amen, amen. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, if you say, hallelujah, I spoke with tongues, hallelujah, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean a bit more than if you got out here and played a tune on a guitar or something. That doesn't mean one thing. Though you spoke with tongues, and though you shouted and run up and down the aisles and cried tears like you had been peeling onions, that don't mean one thing. Unless your everyday life backs up just exactly and stays with it. Amen. So consider how God calls. Consider how God called Abraham. Abraham wasn't looking for God. Abraham was serving his father. He was working in a false god shop. But God called him. God came to him. Amen? Abraham was minding his own business, had his own thoughts and ideas on how he was going to live his life, had his own, you know, idea of how maybe someday he would take over his father's business. And God came on the scene. And God found him. And said, Abraham, I've got some news for you. Amen. Amen? There's more to you than meets the eye. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's more to your life than you think or anybody else thinks. God initiates this. That's what's so beautiful about it, brother, sister. Amen? It's God doing it. He comes to Abraham and starts making promises. Abraham isn't saying, oh God, you know, hey, give me the promises. No. Abraham, I'm going to do this. Abraham, I'm going to do that. I will. I will. I will. It's God's work. Amen? It's His work the whole time. He's the one seeking out. He's the one doing it. Amen. So Jacob comes along and he's under that promise. But God interrupted his life. Jacob had it all figured out. He had plans, and he was a planner and a schemer and a conniver, and he figured out how he was going to get the blessing and how he was going to get the birthright. And God came and interrupted his life. Amen? Amen? He tripped him. Threw him down on the ground. Amen? Started wrestling with him. Amen? Jacob had to be so interrupted that he had to be physically restrained. Amen. Amen. He had to be beat up. Amen. Sometimes whatever it takes. Amen.
Sometimes that's what it takes in our lives.
Right.
Amen. God has to allow things in our lives to beat us up.
Amen.
Amen. To get us to a place where we surrender.
Amen.
Amen. And he carried the scars of that battle. Right? He carried that limp the rest of his life to remember. Remember how stubborn you were? Remember how you thought you had it all figured out? And God had to come and hobble you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
If an animal will stay at home, you don't have to tie it up. But if it wanders, it's got to be tied up. Amen. We're going through that now with a little puppy. Right? If she'd stay home, she doesn't have to get tied up. But if you don't stay home, that's the consequences. All right? Not being mean. Amen? Amen. God does that. You believe God does that to his children? Amen. The Bible says that you reap what you sow. And sometimes, why am I going through this? Why is this so hard? Well, maybe, just maybe, you know, you might have a little something to do with it. Amen. Maybe he's, how come they're not going through it? Well, maybe they don't have to be tied up. Amen. Maybe they're not being tempted away like you are in that area. God's got to put a leash on you. Stay here. Stay here. Amen. Jacob, he had to have a limp. He had to be beat up. God had to tackle him to slow him down. To get his attention. But he did it. Whatever it takes. Why? Because he was a child. Amen. God went after him. And sought him out and interrupted his life. Amen. There's no backup plan, brother, sister. It's whatever it takes for every single one. There's no substitutes. You know, in sports, you've got, you know, a bench, right? And you've got substitutes. Well, this guy, he can't play today. So we've got this guy, you know, we got the second string and the third string. God doesn't have that in his book. Amen. There's no second string quarterback to go in. Everybody has got a place. And everybody will fulfill their place. Amen. Hallelujah. When God calls a man or a woman to a purpose, he calls them to follow him, to live for him, then God backs them up. Amen. He doesn't just send you out and say, well, good luck. Right? He goes with them.
Amen.
He goes in them.
Amen.
So thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read this statement here. The infallibility of God's spoken word, he says, from the beginning. He says, we'll take, for instance, the patriarch Jacob. We were just talking about Jacob. Amen. He says he was a wandering boy and he was a runaway boy. And he ran away from home because he was afraid that Esau was going to kill him because of something he had done. And he ran away from home. Yet that boy was anchored in God by a divine promise that was made to Abraham. You see, that promise anchored him. Amen. He says, and just the same promise that lay anchored in Jacob lays anchored in every born-again believer tonight. Hallelujah. That promise lays anchored in you tonight. This morning. Amen. He says God calls sovereignly without anything that you've done about it. There's nothing that you've done. Men say, oh, I sought God. No man sought God at any time. But it's God seeking man. Not man seeking God. God seeking man. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. Right? That was a scripture we read at the beginning there. He says, you get it? It has to be God drawing man. What brought you here this morning?
Right.
Amen? God drawing you.
Amen.
The only reason you're here, you don't think the devil wants you here, do you? Amen. God put something in your heart to draw you here this morning. And he's got a purpose for it. He's got a reason behind it. He doesn't do things just... without a purpose. But he says man in his nature is a castaway. He's an alien. He's away from God. And then God, by his grace, has to draw him to his own side. He said, and all that the Father has given me will come. What a blessed promise. Amen. He says, there ain't no way at all. There ain't enough picture shows or dance halls or burlesque shows in the country to keep you away from God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. When God begins to call, there's no demon in hell that can keep you from coming. Amen. He says, when God goes to drawing back yonder, before the foundation of the world, when he put your name down that you'd come, you're coming. That's all. Amen. That's all. He says, you might be a hypocrite and work up and say this or that or the other, but I mean God, when God calls, when God goes calling, you don't stop and say, well, I'm a Christian. These things don't bother me. That shows you're not. Right? Your response shows what the call is. Amen. When he seeks, he always finds. When he calls, it's time. Sometimes we get so frustrated because it's not time. We look at loved ones or we look at ones we're praying for and we're asking God, why God? What's happening? It's not time. In his time, he'll call everyone. What it's time for is for you to keep praying. Amen. What it's time for is you to hold on to the promise. Let him do the calling. Let him do the drawing. Let him decide when the right time is to say, child, you're coming. But your job is to pray. Hallelujah. He will find every single one. Everyone that belongs to him, he will find them and they will come. There's never a time when he went looking for someone and he couldn't find them, so he gave up. Amen? That's not our God. But he's using us, as I was saying, it's our part to pray and be a witness and be a light. He's using us as partners in that. Amen? He's using us, we are part of that work. He's allowed us to be partners with him. Amen? Not just for the names on the book, because there's others that will come that their names aren't on the book. Those that it's freely given for. Right? Anyone is welcome to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. Drink of these waters of life. Drink freely. It's for you. Whosoever will. Anybody that wants it can have it. Today. Amen. But I'm so thankful that when he found me, he gave me something. Amen. Amen. He gave me his Spirit. Amen. When he finds you, he gives you something. He gives you a token. He gives you a proof. Amen. He gives you that Spirit of the proof that he has changed you. Proof that you were the one he was looking for. Amen. I found you. I finally found you. Here you go. A token. Amen. He didn't find you just to leave you. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't search all that time. He didn't pay that price. He didn't pay that great cost. Just to let you float away and to wander. Right. Amen? When the going gets tough, or when we disappoint him, or when we falter, or when we fail, amen. He holds on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's faithful. Amen. The nature of our God is supreme faithfulness. Amen. Supreme faithfulness. Faithful to what? Faithful to his word. Faithful to his promise. Faithful to his promise to you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's the one that sought you out in the beginning. He said, I'll find each one of my own. And he says, and I won't lose a one. He knows everything that you're going to go through. Amen. He knows everything that you went through and everything that you're going through. But his original thought with you is always before him. Hallelujah. Close fellowship with Him. One that loves Him and adores Him and can have a kindredship with Him. That's His thought toward you. His thinking of you, that's the way He sees you. Amen? He doesn't look at the human frailties. We put those under the blood. He sees the sacrifice and He sees His original thought. So we walk together with Him in the light. Amen? In His Word. We have fellowship one with another. The Bible says that we walk with Him in the light as He is the light that lights our path, right? The light of His Word on that basis. That's why that restored Word is so important. That's why we stay right with His Word. That's the basis of our fellowship with Him. And brother, sister, the more that we get into His Word, the more revelation that we get of His Word, that means it should produce a closer walk. It should produce a closer fellowship with Him. Amen? It should be producing something in our life. It's not to produce haughty Christians, haughty church members. Amen? And if you see somebody that thinks that they've got more revelation than somebody else and they're proud of it and they're using it to elevate themselves or they're elevating a certain ministry or certain churches or whatever, amen? That's not why God sent true revelation. True revelation will drive you closer to Him. True revelation will make you more humble. Amen? True revelation will give you more power over over sin and over the enemy, more overcoming power. Amen. It will make you more like Christ, not more like a Pharisee. Amen. And too many people that claim to be so revelated, they look more like a Pharisee than our humble Savior. Amen? But I'm so glad that if we misstep in our life, He doesn't just wash His hands of us. Oh, I guess you weren't worthy to begin. No, I never was worthy. Amen? It may mean a hardship for you when you have to get back up and get going. Amen? But it doesn't change the relationship that we have. That's why He provided His blood. That's what the blood is for. Amen. Hallelujah. It's grace that we can get back in line. Amen. If you faltered this morning, there's grace. Amen. If you've messed up, you say, I've messed up and I messed up and I messed up again. And it seems like again and again, we'll get back up again. Amen. There's still grace this morning. There's still mercy. If there's anything in you that wants that grace and mercy, that's because He's calling for you. That's because He's drawing you. Amen. And we should respond to that. Lord, I'm sorry. I know I've done it. And that's why He said, seven times? I say 70 times seven. Amen. Whatever number you can think of, add a zero to it. And then add another zero to it. Amen. How many times does it take? As long as He's still calling. As long as He's drawing. As long as there's something in you that wants Him. Amen. Go toward Him. Hallelujah. That's why He provided that blood. To get back in line. To get back on the path. And He never leaves us or forsakes us. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Many times we might push Him aside. We might grieve Him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. That tells me that even when you're sealed, you can grieve Him. Amen? You might grieve Him. You might, you know, your busyness of life, you might push Him to the sideline a little bit sometimes. Amen? Your actions might grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but He's still seeking.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the only reason you feel conviction.
Wow.
When the word comes.
Amen.
Amen. The word is seeking. Even this morning. In a church service. The word is seeking out. Amen. Those that are that have sin in their life or unbelief. And he's bringing conviction. Well, what is conviction? It's God calling you. Amen. We need to look at, stop looking at it as a bad thing.
Right.
So many people get upset when the pastor preaches hard and is coming, you know, coming after those demons.
Yeah.
That's God coming after you.
Yeah.
Amen. He's seeking you.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to stay in that condition.
Right.
He doesn't want you to be bound.
Right.
He knows that there's trouble ahead. Amen. So when the word seeks you out, and the word does that, it finds out, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a discerner, and it separates the marrow of the bone and asunder between the soul and the spirit, and it discerns, and it goes right to the heart. And somehow, even when a preacher has no idea preaching the word, what's happening, the word goes to the heart. Amen. And something begins to stir and you get convicted. Well, that, brother, sister, that's wonderful.
Amen.
That means that God is drawing you. That's him calling to you. We should be so glad, amen, that we can feel conviction. That he's there telling you, look, you're wrong. Right? You need to make that right. You need to get this straightened out. You're just off the path just a little bit here in this area. You need to get that squared away. You need to straighten up. You need to get a little more sincere. Amen. You need to be a little more disciplined, whatever it is. Amen. And he provides that conviction that goes with the word. The word being preached and the conviction in your heart is God calling. It's God seeking you.
Amen.
It's God looking for you.
Amen.
Amen. Because he knows if that thing is left to go and fester, it'll get worse and worse. Amen. It's what starts out with a tiny little crack soon becomes a fissure, and it gets bigger and bigger and worse and worse. Amen. You see how the rocks up here on the mountain, up Mount Lebanon, you see these giant rock formations and how these things are formed. And many of them start as tiny little cracks, almost microscopic cracks. Did you know that? And then water will get in that crack. And what happens? The water freezes. Right? Well, what happens when water freezes? It expands. Right? So it just a tiny little bit. Maybe you can't even see it the first time, first year. It looks just innocent. Oh, that's just a tiny little crack. But you let it go long enough, what happens? It freezes and expands, freezes and melts, expands. Pretty soon it's broken in half. And that's what happens. Amen? We shouldn't let it get that far. That's why we come to church.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we come to church. Oh, let the word of God head those things off for you. Amen. Let that conviction come so that you catch it when it's little. It's easy to take care of then. Before it gets further down the road. Amen. That's what, you know, the same principle Brother Baker's been talking about, courting, right? Well, you got to be careful about making those ties, because what happens is before too long, it's too late.
Right.
Amen. Your hearts are intertwined and that's it.
Right.
Right? You can't untangle.
Right.
Amen. Well, that happens with sin too.
Right.
That happens with relationships and friendships and things. That's why we have to guard and be careful of these things. Amen. But he is seeking to be your everything. Amen. Remember when Jesus was walking on earth and he began to lament over Jerusalem? Right? He was grieved and crying out, Jerusalem. He says, how oft I would have gathered you. I mean, look at the words that he's using and the sentiment, what he's expressing. It's not, he doesn't hate them. He doesn't hate Jerusalem. He's not, you know, calling fire and brimstone and destruction. He's saying, I would have loved to gather you to myself. Just like a hen gathers her little ones. Just like a mother puts her wings around her little ones and protects them and provides for their needs and takes care of them and shields them from enemies and from danger. That's what he wanted to do for Jerusalem. That was his heart for Jerusalem. Amen? He wanted to protect and to care for his offspring. Hallelujah. That's what he wants this morning for you and I. Amen? For his children. He wants to be everything for us. He wants to be a protector, a provider for us. And so sometimes situations come in our lives that allow that to be expressed. Amen? They drive us back into his arms. We realize, whoa, I got a little too far out here. I need to go back. Amen? I need to get under the protective wings of Father Eagle. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that he's the one that can be touched or can be affected. Amen? He can be influenced or moved by the feeling of our infirmities because he's not a distant. He's not an emotionless God. He's not a statue. He's not a robot. But he's a real, live, living, loving Father. A kind, living God. Amen. He's tender towards his children. Amen. And he wants your best. Now, sometimes your best is not what you want. But he knows what's best for us. Amen. And part of what he's looking for is he's looking for somebody to just allow him to be God. That's what he's seeking after this morning. He's looking for those to surrender and say, Lord, you've got this. I'm giving up, Lord. I'm going to let you have your way. Hallelujah. He's seeking for those that will allow him to be God. He's seeking for those that will allow him to be their champion. Amen. He's the Lord of hosts. The Lord that will do battle. The Lord that's the mighty general. Amen. And he wants to fight on your behalf. That's part of who he's looking for this morning. That's what he's seeking after. Amen. Those that are willing to say, Lord, I don't want to fight my battles. I want you to fight my battles for me. Amen. Jesus came into this world to tear down the works of the devil, the Bible says. Right? He walked in and ripped down spiritual fortresses. He walked in and tore down demonic strongholds. Amen. Demons that had people bound for years and years in sickness or had taken their minds from them or even killed them. And he tore down those strongholds. Oh, he's mighty. Amen. He's a mighty conqueror. He's a mighty God. He's tender toward his children, but don't you get on his bad side. Amen. Hallelujah. He ripped down the fortresses that demons had built in people's lives, and he's still doing it today. But we've got to run to him and not away from him. Amen. He can't help you if you're running away from him today. He wants you to run to him. Amen. Remember, he's calling a name off a book.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But it's not just a written name or a name like we think of. It's an image. Amen. Amen? It's an image of your character. Your name is your character. Right. Your name is. And I'm not talking about your human name. It's your real name. Amen? Amen. I like that scripture, you know. And the old The old song messed it up because they had the wrong revelation of it. But the Bible says that there is a new name written. Right? Well, they took that to be, well, it's a new name that somebody got saved. And, hey, it's somebody new. And God didn't know about them. And now, hey, new name. They're saved. Well, but that's not what it means. Amen. It's your new name.
Amen.
Amen. It's not your old name. It's your new name. And it was written there from the beginning, before the beginning. Amen? So in other words, not newly written. Right? But it's your new name that is written. Hallelujah. But you see that that is an image of your character. It's who you are. It's the real you made in His image. And that's what's being created in this crucible that we call life. Right? We know that we know that our character, it's not just given to us, but it's a victory. Yeah. Right? Character is something that's won in battle.
Yeah.
Right? It's won through trials. Yeah. It's something that we tangibly have when we come out on the other end of a trial.
Yeah.
Amen. You didn't know that you got a payday for that, huh? You were working by the hour. Going through this trial.
Yeah.
You're getting paid.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. What are you getting paid with? Character.
Amen.
On the other end, there's a payday.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And it's more precious than gold.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's what's being formed in this place we call life. Here on earth. Amen. We're going through trials. We go through sufferings. We go through testings. We go through all sorts of things. But that is to create that image that He had in His mind of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to see what He's thinking of. You know, I just want to, Lord, just let me see it. Amen. But it's written right here.
Amen.
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 But he's the master sculptor. Brother Baker's been bringing this out quite a bit, right? About the master sculptor, the one who has, like Michelangelo, had the vision of Moses in his head. And he said, how do you know? How can you create such an amazing image out of stone? And how do you start? And what do you do? And he says, well, I just have the image and I just remove everything that isn't that image. Right? He just removes the stone that isn't part of what he has in his mind. And that's what God is doing with our flesh, amen? That's God. What God is doing with our worldly carnality is He's cutting off anything that is doesn't match that image. He's holding up that image going, well, we need to just slice a little bit over here. Amen? We need to let Him go through this a little bit over here and let that get scrubbed off of Him. Now He's starting to look good on that side. Let's turn the other way, okay? Amen? He's working on you, amen? Hallelujah. It's not random. So many times we think it's random. Amen. I've never been any kind of artist. I've never been able to draw, you know, nothing like that. I don't have that gift. Because, you know, when I was a kid, I used to love to play with Legos. That was one of my favorite things. Because I was an only child and I could do that by myself. Aw. You ever play with Legos? Anybody ever build things out of Legos? I love to build things with Legos, right? But you know, just to prove to you that I don't have that creative gift in me. When I would go to build something out of Legos, I didn't have in my mind an image of what I wanted to build. I would just start to put things together and hope that something came out the other side that looked like something. Now, that was my approach. Well, this part, you know, put this together, and oh, that's kind of neat. I don't know what, stick this on there, and sometimes it kind of looked like something, maybe, right? That's not how God works.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad He's not random like that. Amen. That's not how He operates. He's got an image. Amen. And every single thing that you go through in life is moving towards expressing that image. It's not random. It's not by chance. Amen. He's not just pulling a Lego piece out of the bin and just sticking it into your life and say, well, let's see what happens if this. We throw this trial in here. Let's mix a little of this in. It's not random. Every, the Bible says, the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. That's not how he operates. I'm so thankful for that this morning, aren't you? Amen. Hallelujah. The amazing thing about it is he's doing that with every single one of us. Every single child. And at the same time, he's fitting the children together. Amen. Into a body. So it's not just that they he's making them into the image that he has in his mind of each individual and the character and what they would express, but each one of them fits together. Amen. And the ones that are next to each other, you know, they might have to grind on each other a little bit at first. Right? And he's using one to perfect the other one. And it's not random. Amen. Each one fitted together in this great masterpiece. It's such a beautiful picture, brother, sister. Amen. And he sees that finished product, his perfect, sinless, spotless bride, all of his children, all of the elect ones, all the names in the book, all together form that elect bride, that one that he cherishes, the one who he thinks about, the one that he has provided. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. That you would be with me. That's what that was the whole point, right? That we can be together. That we no longer be separated, that we wouldn't be separated by circumstance or time, or we wouldn't ever feel alone, but that we would be together with him. Amen. Hallelujah. That master sculptor, he just pulls raw material right out of the earth, and it doesn't look like nothing. Amen. It just looks like a lump of clay or a lump of rock. But he sees something inside. There's something, there's a vision that he has. Amen. And he begins to chip away and chip away and cut away. Hallelujah. The world looks at it and goes, that's just a lump of clay. That's just an old dirty rock. Amen. They despise what is beautiful in God's sight. They don't see what God sees. They don't see what he's looking at. Amen? And when you conduct yourself and live like the Bible says, you live a life that's worthy of the gospel. You live what God wants. Amen? The world looks at it and doesn't appreciate it. They look at it just as an old-fashioned, you know, something that's outdated, outmoded. Amen? But one day they will. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they will see his plan. Amen. It'll just be too late for some. From the message of grace, he says, when he came, he never came to great theologians. Neither did he go to Caiaphas, the high priest, only to be condemned by him. But he took fishermen, men that were poor, and walked the common life. Amen. I believe we can all relate to that. Tonight, this morning, amen. Maybe we're not fishermen, but we walk a common life, I believe. To that he revealed himself. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Show that his grace still reached down, even from the Jews to the Gentiles, to call a people for his name in this last days. Amen. As we have just been through it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. Brother, sister, it's a miracle in Bible terms that we as Gentiles even have access to this. Amen. Amen. We're grateful. That's God's grace. Amen. Amen. But here he's speaking about Peter, right? Because Peter, he said, Peter, I'll make you a fisher of men. Right? He's just a normal guy. Peter was just a fisherman. Amen. Who knows how many fishermen were on that lake? How many had come before him and how many would come after him? Amen? Just a regular guy. You see him on the street, you wouldn't think nothing of him. You walk right by him. Is that right? But his name was on the book. Amen. So Jesus, when he's walking around and he's starting his ministry, what does he do? The first thing he does is he starts going through the names. Right? Each one has a time. Okay, it's time for, what's the next name? Oh, it's Peter. All right, let's go find Peter. Amen. He did the same thing for you. Oh, it's Henry's time. I'm coming for him. Amen. His name was on the book, so Jesus went after him, looking for him. And he found him and he called him out of his boat. Peter, you think that you're just a fisherman. But I've got this book here, amen, that speaks about who you really are. And if you're interested, amen, you can continue just being a fisherman, or you can receive what I have for you. And this book says that you'll be fishers of men. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of Jesus changed his life. Amen? It's always life-altering when Jesus comes on the scene. Amen. That's why we invite him. That's why we create an atmosphere. Amen? We want him to come on the scene. Don't we? We want to be changed, right? We want him to change our situations and change our lives. We want him on the scene. So this man who was, you know, looked like just all the rest of them and was just a common fisherman who wasn't learned and, you know, couldn't even write his own name, just a regular guy. Now the Roman Catholics claim him as their first pope. He has buildings named after him. You know? The whole world knows who he is. And he's one of the 24 elders seen in the book of Revelation. Given the keys to the kingdom. A fisher of men. That was what the book said about him. Amen? On the other side, you had Paul, who was a Pharisee. He was dedicated to the law. He had dedicated his life from his youth to serving God the way that he thought. Loyal, sincere. And there were many such men. Loyal, sincere. Priests and Pharisees and Sadducees. These people didn't join this to, you know, I'm sure there were some corrupt ones, but many of them are sincere. They were serving God with all their heart. They thought. Paul had an idea about what his life would be. Right? He had a plan. There was a program. He was headed a direction. Amen? He was zealous for the law. But his name was in the book. There were lots of Pharisees whose name were not in the book. But the difference was Paul's name was in the book. Hallelujah. So when it came time as time is going down through the names. Oh, it's Saul at that time, right? Look, there he is, Saul. So what happened? Jesus went looking for him. Amen? He went looking for him. Saul wasn't looking for Jesus. He was looking for his followers to persecute him. Amen? He had a trajectory for his life. He had a direction. He knew what he was doing. But his name was in the book. And that name called out over all that was happening in Paul's life, all over all that he had planned, over all that was going on, over all the atrocities he had committed. The name called out. His name is on the book. He must be brought forth. And Jesus went and called his name. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He went looking for him. Oh, I'm so glad he came looking for me. You say, how do you know your name's on the book? Because he came looking for me. Paul, how do you know your name was on the book? I was persecuting him, and he came looking for me. Paul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to push against what has already been predestinated for you in the book. Amen. We find in our lives sometimes it's our lives get sticky and they get pokey. Why? Because we're pushing against what's written of you in the book. But Jesus came looking for him. Just like he came looking for Adam. Adam, where are you? Saul, why are you persecuting me? In that moment, in that one sentence, he told him who he was, and he told him he was wrong. Amen. His name was on the book, and it was his turn. Hallelujah. He finds out his life is so much more important. How many Pharisees that persecuted Christians can we call by name that we can note the accomplishments that we note with our beloved brother Paul, who wrote majority of the New Testament, who laid the foundation of the Christian church, who God used mightily for his glory. And we may not, we won't do that. We can't take Paul's place, but we're in the same book.
Amen.
Amen. It was more than he could have ever imagined. The religious leaders excommunicated him. They took him from out from under the atonement. Right? Because their law, they were practicing Jews, practicing the law. That was their atonement. And they took him out from under that. Yeah. Excommunicated. But it didn't matter. It didn't faze him. Why? Because he had found out that his name was in the book. And that was all that mattered. It doesn't matter what any person can do. It doesn't matter what any man, church, can do. If you know your name's on the book, amen. None of that matters. The master craftsman gathering a stone from here and a stone from there and polishing this one up and molding and shaping this one to create his great masterpiece. Fitting them together, a body, perfectly. Amen? Amen. Let me just read you a couple more things here and we'll get ready to close this morning. A message of grace. Did we just read that one? Yeah. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. He's talking about the beast, right? The Antichrist. All that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so this is the scripture where we find out that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. And we find out that the names written on that particular book, right? They're the ones that are not deceived. Is that right? So it says those whose names are not written in the book, that means the ones whose names are written in the book do not worship him. They are not deceived. Why? There's a holding power. Amen. Those that whose names are written in the book, they have something. They've been given something. They've been given an overcoming power. Amen. You see that the Bible here is setting them aside as a different group of people. Hallelujah. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, he says, it's God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's God that worketh. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. If Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, it taken 4,000 years before it actually happened, right? Because it was before the world was created. But when God spoke it back here, every word of God is steadfast. It's immutable, which means it can't unchangeable, right? It's impartable. It cannot fail. And when God slayed the Son before the foundation of the world, he was just as much slain then as he was at Calvary. It's a finished product when God says so. Amen? So, if that happened exactly as he predestinated and saw, what about you? Amen? A finished product whenever God says so. Remember, when the Lamb was slain, your salvation was included in that sacrifice. Because the Bible said your name was written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. What about that? Now what are we going to do? It's God that showeth mercy. It's God that called you. It's God that chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. You say, well, I know you didn't have anything to do with it. It's God that did it. He says, Jesus said, you never chose me, I chose you. What did Peter do to make Jesus come and call him? What did Paul do? Nothing. What did any of them do? But the name on the book called out. Amen. He says, you never chose me, I chose you, and I knew you before the foundation of the world. There you are, see? That takes the scare out of you. Hallelujah. This should settle us, brother, sister. Brother Branham says that teaching settles you in the Word. Right? This is the kind of thing that settles you. Right? This is what he's talking about. You've got to find out who you are. You find out. Amen? If your name's on the book. But once you know, that takes all the scare out of you. He says, quote, oh, I wonder if I could just keep holding on. I will make it, bless God, if I just keep holding on. No, it's not whether I hold on or not. It's whether he held on or not. It's what he done, not what I done. It's what he done. Brother, sister, you, nobody, no flesh, not one of us is going to get to the other side in glory and say, well, you know, hey, man, I did it. I made it through. No. I made it through. You made it through? You? No. He did it. Yes. We'll get to the other side and we'll say, he did it. Yes. He brought us through. Yes. He called me out. Amen. He brought me through. Amen. He's the one that did it. Amen. John 15:16, and this is Christ speaking. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Amen. He does the calling. He does the choosing. He's the one that had the image of you before the foundation of the world. He's the one that put your name on the book. But we have to surrender. Amen. He seeks us out and we have to say, yes, Lord. Amen. We have to say, thy will, Lord. Lord, whatever your word says, yes, Lord, I surrender, I believe, I accept it, Lord, I receive it, Lord. Amen? It takes a surrender. He's still calling, he's still seeking today. He's still calling right now. The word is still going forth. Amen? Even in a Sunday morning church service, the word is still going out and it's seeking out names that are on the book. Amen. It's seeking out things in our lives that don't match that image. Amen. It's seeking out those who don't know that their name is on the book yet. Amen. That they need to know, they need to find out. Those that are wondering, is my name on the book? Am I in that group? Amen. Maybe you need to fully surrender. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you try to get too much control in your life. You got to let go. Let go and let God. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're just weakened by sickness this morning. Maybe you're weakened in the flesh, but you can't make it on your own strength this morning. Don't lean on your own strength. Amen. Let Him be your healer this morning. He's the one that started this. He's the one that's going to finish it. Amen. He didn't. I love that little song. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. Amen. He didn't lift me up to let me down. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Why did He call you? Why did He bring you this far? Because your name was on the book. And if your name's on the book, you're going to be there. Hallelujah. Oh, but we got to surrender this morning. Amen. Maybe we've just allowed ourselves to grow a little cold, a little lukewarm, to cool off. Amen. But He's here. There's a word here this morning. There's a living God. Amen. That you can surrender to, and He'll rearrange your priorities. Amen. He'll retool your life, reset, refocus. Sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes we just come to church on a Sunday morning. We just say, "Lord, just refocus me, Lord. Just take my eyes off of these old carnal things and just turn me back, Lord, looking at You. Lord, I have to do these things, I know, but I want to be looking at You all the time, Lord." Amen. Sometimes that's all it takes, brother, sister. Amen. It's just looking to Him, saying, "Lord, I'm just not going to look at this situation anymore. This thing has been bothering me, it's been following me, it's been weighing on me, but I'm just going to stop looking at it. I'm going to look at You instead. I'm going to look at Your promise. I'm going to look at Your word. I'm going to look at what You said about me. I'm going to look at that promise that You gave me, Lord." Hallelujah. Lord, I want to see what You see. Praise the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. If we've never surrendered to Him, but we want to, that's Him. Amen. Let's stand this morning. This is the thing that's beautiful about this, brother, sister. If there's anything in you that wants a closer walk, that's Him. If there's anything in you that wants salvation, wants God, wants deliverance, that's Him calling. That's His word calling you. Amen. Calling to you. Amen. There is healing this morning. Amen. There is deliverance. Amen. The reason that you feel that pull is because He's on the other side. Amen. Drawing you. Amen. Through His word. Amen. That's how He draws, through His word. Amen. Amen. And that means it's available for us this morning. We just have to accept it and receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, aren't you thankful this morning? Amen. What a glorious gospel that we have this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that, "I Can Hear My Savior Calling." Hallelujah. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear. trust in Him.